those of us that have been bought by the blood of Christ, been redeemed by His precious blood, listen, He came to us. We didn't go to Him. He came to us. Right when we needed Him, He was there. And I want y'all to understand something, please. Do you know this? And I'm not here to offend anyone or hurt someone's feelings. God knows my heart. But listen to me. I do not need no one but Jesus. Get what I'm saying? Don't need nobody but Jesus. He saved me. He redeemed me. He called me. I'm His. I'm going to spend eternity with Him. And you know what? I don't need the world and its trappings. All I need is Him. Sometimes I think we forget. I have a personal relationship with Him. He's the one I go to. He's the one I read about. He speaks to me through His Word. He's the one, when I pray, He comforts me. He's all I need. I don't need nothing else. And neither do you. Amen? I want to tell you about a lady. I'm trying to figure out something to preach this morning. I got up a little early and prayed and spoke to the Lord and said, Lord, give me something to feed Your people. It's been a kind of a busy week. I had a few things going. In fact, the last couple weeks have been pretty busy for me. And we are preparing to go see Anthony graduate out of boot camp. Praise the Lord, he made it. Amen. Friday, he gets to walk out and he'll be a full-fledged squab, right? Sailor. Squabber of the deck. But praise God, I'm very proud of him. But we're trying to get our ducks in a row with that. But anyways, turn to Luke chapter 7. And the reason I want to speak to you about this is Jesus always shows up right on time. He's never early. He's never late. He's always on time. And He's just healed in Capernaum a centurion's servant. Just healed. Now He's on His way from Capernaum to a little bitty place called Nain. When y'all were in Israel, Brother Bob, Brother Paul, did y'all go to Nain? Well, we went. It's kind of like rural Arkansas. You blink and you're through it. It's a little bitty place. Very small. But it's exactly 25 miles from Capernaum. Now, I want you to understand, Jesus and the disciples and the crowd always walked everywhere. They didn't ride on a bus or on a train. They didn't ride a motorcycle or a bicycle. They walked everywhere. And 25 miles, that's a lot of walking. Me and Brother Clyde used to walk in the park, huh? We'd do about, what, 3.5 miles? And by the time that 3.5 miles came, we were dragging to the car. So imagine 25 miles. So, anyways, he comes upon a funeral procession. Is everybody there? Verse 11, and it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. So, not only were the disciples following the Lord, and by the way, that's what we are, disciples, followers of Christ. We should follow Jesus anywhere and everywhere. But also there is many people also. Why? Because they witnessed what he did. Now, not all of them still believed that he was the Christ, the Messiah, but they knew there's something about him. And folks, there is something about Jesus. He is the Son of God. He is God. Amen. So anyways, it says, now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. And he came and touched the bier. And they that bare him stood still, and he said, Young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. And there came fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God hath visited his people. And of course, verse 17 says, And this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea, and throughout all the region round about. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this time you've given me. And Lord, I just ask that you bless this message. I pray that, Lord, you'll let me preach with boldness and authority. And Lord, may eyes and hearts be open to receive your word. And your Holy Spirit deal those that I stand before and myself. And Lord, one that needs to come, may they have liberty to do it. Have your way in the service. Let your word reach its intended purposes. We love you, we praise you, and we exhort you in Jesus' name. Amen. So he goes from Capernaum after healing this centurion's servant. Now he's on his way, and he comes upon a funeral. And when he came to this little city of Nain, it was a time of death. Now this was a young man, young lad, if you will. We don't know his age, but he was young. He was the only son of this woman that lived in Nain. And they are literally carrying his body to the cemetery. Now, the custom of that day was the mother would be in front of that casket. Those that were bearing the casket would be behind her. And then there would be mourners, some relatives, and then some that actually were paid to mourn for a loved one. And then the rest of the city, and of course Nain wasn't big, but the rest of the residents of that city would also come out and follow that procession to the cemetery as a show of respect. So as Jesus comes upon the city, he meets this funeral procession. Now again, notice death. Death has come again and robbed our loved ones. But beloved, it shouldn't fool us, and it shouldn't make us just stop in our tracks and stop living, because we were told that because of one man, sin entered into the world, and by that one man, death was passed upon all men. In fact, Jesus was in the garden because he was God. He told Adam, listen, the day you partake of that fruit there in the midst of the garden, you shall surely die. Now, did he die at that very moment? No, because, listen, physically he didn't die. He lived hundreds of years on. We're not talking physical death. But the moment he disobeyed God in the garden, Adam began to die spiritually right then, from that time on. And this young man, even though he died and death robbed him of his youth, death robbed him of a future, he still pictures everyone that doesn't have a relationship with Jesus Christ as their Savior, because picture spiritual death. And listen to me. Anyone that doesn't know the Savior, you may be breathing, you may be seeing, you may be hearing, you may be speaking, but if you don't know the Savior, you are spiritually dead. Even though you're breathing, you're spiritually dead. And it's a picture, this dead young man being carried out of the city of Nain to the cemetery is that picture of spiritual death. A lost person is spiritually dead. Who is a lost person? Anyone that has never received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. That's a lost person. Now, we're also told that his mother was a widow. Now, I've been told, I can't say by experience, but I do know loved ones that have lost a child. And they say, had it not been for the grace of God, they would have no way been able to have bared it. But here's a widow who's depending on her son, because remember back then there wasn't welfare programs that we have today to take care of widows and things. Back then, no, the widow depended on her son for her later years to be taken care of. She depended on her son. She only had one son. She's experienced death before because the Bible says she was a widow, so her son or her husband had died. Now her son has died. But this widow here is another picture. You see, the son represents a person that is spiritually dead. But this widow, the circumstances that surround her by losing her son, pictures how it is when a sinner is in bondage to sin and the circumstances of sin. You get where I'm coming from. A lot of people don't understand. But whether you're aware of it or not this morning, sin is bondage. And the devil and the world will tell you, no, no, sin is good. Enjoy it. Because after all, you only have one life to live. And after you die, it's done. So live. Enjoy. Because life is fleeting. Well, the Bible does say life is fleeting as a shadow. It's a vapor. But listen to me. When you are in sin and lost in it, you are controlled by those circumstances. How am I controlled? Because when you die without Jesus as your Savior, you will spend eternity separated from Him in a place called hell. See, the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. That's what you have waiting for you, spiritual death and separation from a merciful, loving, gracious God. So we see a young man that has died. His future's over. On his way to the cemetery. We see a mother that is broken. One, she's lost her son. And two, now, circumstances that surround her that she has to face now. She's got to depend on others to see her through. Back then, a lot of others, you'll notice, when they saw a beggar, most of them walked right on by. When they saw a blind man, most of them walked right on by. You see, didn't want to be bothered. But that's not the case with Jesus. So, He comes to the city of Nain. And there's two groups that met there that morning. One is on the way to the cemetery coming out. And here comes a group on the way to the city. And they're rejoicing. One is sad. And one is rejoicing. What are they rejoicing over? The centurion's servant that Jesus healed. But they're on their way to the city. Let me say, if you have been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, you're on the way to the city. Amen. I'm going to heaven. You say, how do you know that? Because Jesus told me. And if He tells you anything, take it to the bank. I'm going to heaven. You say, but surely there's got to be a little doubt. Nope. I believe. And I know. How do you know? This book right here tells me so. We love to hear the kids sing the B-I-B-L-E, right? That is the book for me. And it tells me I'm on the way to a city. So, beloved, if you've got Jesus as your Savior, you're on the way to the city too. Amen? And I love that psalm, Brother Bill read, I love that one part in Psalm 118. You know what it says? I shall not die, but live, and declare the glory of the Lord. Beloved, I'm not going to die, neither are you. I'm talking about spiritual death. Physically, I'm probably going to die if he doesn't come back in my lifetime. That's okay. But I'm not going to die spiritually. I'm going to live, and believe me, for all eternity, I'm going to be declaring the works of the Lord. How he died for me. Amen? Turn back to my text. And notice what it says. Said, now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the son of his mother, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. Not only did two groups meet, two sons met. One was the son of a man on earth, but he was a dead son. The other son was the Son of God, the Prince of Life. Amen. Think about that. Do you know the Prince of Life this morning? One was just a son of man. And because death passed upon all men died. But this other son was God's only begotten son, the Prince of Life. Not only did two sons meet, but two sufferers met. You see, that widow was suffering at the loss of her son. At the future of literally having to beg and depend upon others to meet her needs. The other one came into the world and suffered rejection, suffered crucifixion, and suffered death, so that you, me, and all of the world could be saved. Have you met that suffering Savior? Praise God, I know him. You do. And then finally, notice two enemies left. Excuse me, met. Two enemies met. One was death. And death, bad as physical death is, it's nothing compared to spiritual death. But death met life that day. Understand, the Prince of Life went to the cross, gave his life, was buried, and praise God, he rose again. And I'm here to tell you, Jesus Christ is life. Always. Now, this was just a little skirmish. He hadn't went to the cross yet. But listen to me. When Jesus went to the cross for all of us and they buried him, on that third day he came out of that garden tomb, and you listen and you listen well. He defeated death right then and right there for every man. Now, forever. If that don't light you shucks, what's wrong with you? Art to shout, a Baptist can shout. Amen. Because we got something to shout about. Because in Christ is life. Now, Jesus sees this funeral procession, and he has compassion. Now, I don't know about you. I can only answer for me. I know I've got work to do when it comes to compassion. I'll be the first to tell you. Sometimes I don't have the compassion that I should have. If I had it, sometimes I'd think before I spoke. I would act not in the way that this old foot tells me. But you see, with Jesus, it was never that way. When he saw anyone with a need, he always had compassion. My prayer for all of us here at this church is that we will learn to have the same compassion as our Savior. Amen? So, he stops the procession. And let me just say this. If you'll study the Word of God, every time Jesus came across a funeral, he broke it up. Read. Every time he broke up a funeral. The old devil didn't like that, did he? And when he saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, "Weep not." And he came and he touched the bier of the casket, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say unto thee, arise." I want you to understand something. One of these days, according to the Word of God, everyone that is in the grave, those that have been washed by the blood of Christ, are going to hear the Son of God, the Savior of the world, God Himself say, "Arise." And they're going to obey that voice. They're going to come up out of those graves, and they're going to meet Him in the air in the clouds. And those of us that might be walking upon this face of the earth at that time, we're also going to hear that voice say, "Arise!" And we're going to meet Him in the air. Now, this is interesting. Look at the next thing. "And he that was dead sat up and began to speak." Now, I would love to know what he had to say. Now, the Bible doesn't say what he said. And I would, well, no, I probably wouldn't. If he was laying there in that box, and Jesus said, "Arise," and he sat up, you'd have to catch me. But folks, listen to me. I can remember my brother-in-law, who's been in the funeral business for many years. He's been in the funeral business as long as I've been preaching. He said that before they embalm bodies, sometimes they're carried in and they're laid there on the table getting prepared for that, and the body will just raise up. I'm out of there. We were visiting them one time, and he goes, "Hey," he got a call. He said, "Go with me." I said, "Oh, I'll go with you. I'll ride with you." And the corner dropped off a body, and he took it back there to that room, and I wasn't going in. He said, "Oh, come in." I said, "I don't want to see none of that. Don't want to see any of that." He goes, "No, there's not." I said, "No, you're going to play some goofy joke on me. I know you. And you know I will hurt you. I won't be able to help myself." He goes, "No, come on in here." He goes, "I'll show you how this process works. Donnie, I don't want to see none of that nonsense. You bury them. That's your job. I'll preach to them. That's my job. I'll take care of the living part. You handle the dead part." Amen? So, notice, "And he that was dead sat up." Now listen, that's no big deal. Because it happens. A dead person can sit up. Especially before embalming. That's no big deal. But the part to where a person is truly alive is not only do they sit up, but they speak. That's how you know they're alive. And again, wouldn't it be wonderful if the Bible told us what he had to say? But it doesn't. But if I could guess, I think it would be something like this. "I was dead, but now I'm alive. Because you came to me. Beloved, has Jesus come to you?" So, the Bible says, and he delivered him to his mother. And there came fear on all. And they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God has visited his people. Beloved, Jesus was the greatest preacher to ever walk the face of the earth. And oh, I'll throw this in and won't charge you. He's God. God definitely visited that little town called Nain. And by the way, that word Nain means beautiful. You wouldn't have thought so at the beginning. There was a funeral procession. But now that God has touched that young man and brought him back to life, yeah, now the city's beautiful. Now, what is my point? Simply this. You who are spiritually dead in sins and trespasses, you may not be aware of it, but the Bible over in Ephesians 2 tells us that you're dead. Spiritually, but that Jesus has come and died and rose again to offer you, me, and the entire world life. He can raise us from the deadness of sin and iniquity, and he can put spiritual life into all of us if we will allow him to come to us. I will ask you one more time. When was the last time Jesus came to you? Or has he come to you? I'm thankful he came to me years ago. And I've never forgotten when he came to me. I wasn't capable of doing anything for myself. And you'll attest, if you were saved, none of us were capable of saving ourselves. It was him and him alone. But I assure you, if you will allow him to come to you, he will give you life, and he will give you peace, and he will give you joy that words can't describe, if you'll just allow. So, in close, what's it going to be? I'm thankful that he came to you. When did he come to you? Say, well, I don't really know. I can't really. I want to tell you, if he's truly come to you, you may get older if you're like me. I'm starting to forget things. But listen to me. If he's truly come to you, you will know it. You might not remember the day. You might not even remember the hour, but you'll know that he came to you. If there's not a time in your life where you can remember, then he wants to come to you this morning. And if he's speaking to your heart this morning, that's him saying right here and right now, I'm here. I want to talk to you. Will you let him talk to your heart?